Chapter 5, and we're closing out the book today, 1 John chapter 5, and I'll be reading verses 18 through 21. 1 John chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. I think that the theme of this portion of Scripture is knowing and relying on the love of God while we walk in the light. You might have noticed that on the sign out front, but that's the theme of what we're going to talk about today. And I'm going to start out with this. It's a plate, but just pretend that it's a home plate. And imagine you're in a game, baseball game, and of course, all guys know this. It's the ninth inning. Base is loaded. You're down by three. You represent the winning run. You're up to bat. You're up to bat. Bring it, guy. And first pitch comes. It's a curveball, and it's on the outside corner. It's a high outside corner. And, of course, you're swinging for the fences, and you miss. Strike one. And your coach looks at you. You know, coach has gone over this all the time. You know, to swing at that outside sucker pitch all the time. But you did. And you say, "Coach, we know. We know. We know." So pick up your bat again, and pitch comes. Oh, inside corner, catches the corner for strike number two, but you're brushed back from the plate. And the coach looks at you again and says, "See the ball? Hit the ball." And we say, "We know, coach, we know, we know." So that's what, strike two. So you're ready for it this time. And pitch comes. It's a changeup. And it hits the ground right before the plate. You don't swing. Got better, coach, didn't I? We know. We know. We know. Well, it's the payoff pitch. And get your bat ready. Here comes the pitch. And you're expecting another changeup, you know, a slow pitch. Guess what you get? 94-mile-an-hour fastball right down the middle. And you're just caught there, you know, just not expecting that. Flat-footed, and it blows by you, and the game's over. And you wonder why that happened. Well, the book ends that way. 1 John ends that way. There are three verses. Each one of those verses begins with, "We know." And it kind of summarizes, these four, three verses are a summary of the entire book. We know. We know. We know. And then at the last verse, verse 21, gives us this, "Dear children," again. That phrase that refers to those people that John was writing to, "Dearly beloved children." What's he say? Stay away from idols. Basically, that's what it is. And I take that literally because he was writing from Ephesus, and Ephesus was just full of idols. It doesn't mention idolatry anywhere else in the book, but it's kind of like that fast pitch at the end of the game you weren't expecting. Oh, watch out for those idols, guy. So that's where we are, about keeping and relying on the love of God while walking in the light. And you know, I think that really has application for today's world that we live in. We know. And it's a world that tells us that we shouldn't know really anything for sure. But John uses a word here in the Greek, oida, which refers to knowledge gained not by experience. And the word for experience would be gnosko, but this is oida. But this is knowledge gained by the inward learning process. And what's that involve? It involves what? The Word of God, the Bible, and the Spirit of God. God, you know, slapping us sometimes and said, hey, dummy, you know, as I'm trying to get your attention, notice the words you read in your study this morning have some application right now with what you're going through. And so it's like an inward, internal learning of God teaching us on the inside what we need to know. And John talks a lot about knowing in 1 John. 36 times, the words that are translated by knowing. And it's knowledge that's taught to us by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And you know what? It's really not available to the folks around us. They'll live to might maybe be 100 years old and never have access to that type of learning from the Word of God and the Spirit of God that we have the privilege of getting because we belong to Jesus. Well, looking at these verses, I found three things that we can know while relying on the love of God. Three things we can know while relying on the love of God. Paul actually uses that phrase earlier in the book, knowing and relying on the love of God. First of all, we can know that a born-again person doesn't live in sin. Look at verse 18. We know that anyone born of God does not continue in sin. The one who is born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. God gives us victory over sin. And the word for sin there is harmatio. He gives us victory over harmatio, over sin. And it's in the present continuing tense there. So it's not something that we do one time that's talked about here. But it's a sin that we permanently persist in. It's not our habit or our lifestyle. As a Christian, we have to come to the place where we realize that what we're doing is wrong, and we need to make some changes. And basic change of attitude and behavior as we understand the Word of God taught to us by the Spirit of God. You know, there might be some occasional failures that we make, but it's not something we do every day. And that's what it's talked about here in this passage. We know that we're born again because we don't continually live in sin. And John gives us two reasons why this is so in verse 18. The first is that the one who is born of God keeps him safe. And if you have a New King James Version, it says, we keep ourselves safe. And, you know, that's just wrong. This is not what's in the verse. I'm sorry. That's not there. But it tells us that Jesus, that's who it's referring to, Jesus himself keeps us safe. What do you think of when you think of the person of Jesus Christ? I always think of him as my shepherd who protects his flock. And you know, this is a passage that I read in my devotions this morning before I came to church. It's Psalm 23. It's a psalm of David. It describes what Jesus does for me and what he does for you. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. He's the one who shepherds me. I shall not be in want, nedostatek. That means I'm never going to not have enough. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. They're like ruts. That's what the original talks about, like ruts of righteousness. They're a paved way that people know. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, anything dangerous, death, I will fear no evil. For, and it gives us a reason, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they do what for me? They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. What a blessing that is in a desert when everything's all cracked up and dry. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me. How long? Right? All the days of my life. Every single one of them. Not one is excluded from that. And then he talks about forever in the last part of that verse. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Forever. Absolutely forever. How long is forever? Forever. Forever. That's the type of Jesus that we have. He keeps us safe. He's a good shepherd who watches over us. The second reason is given us to the last part in verse 18. And the evil one cannot harm him. The evil one is Satan. The evil one. The devil. And the verb there tells us that he can't touch us. He can't lay a hold of us. He can't fasten his grip, his claws upon us, because we are no longer under his control. We have been rescued from the dominion of darkness and brought into the kingdom of his Son that he loves. Billy Graham once wrote, "Conversion is a revolution in the life of a person. If a person is truly converted, he has changed his whole direction in his life. He has turned around 180 degrees and is going in a different direction than he was before." Conversion means to change completely. We do that by not continuing to live, dwell, remain in sin. It's not an everyday habit of our lives. So that's the first thing I found. First thing that we can know and rely upon is that a born-again Christian doesn't live in sin. The second thing that I found is found in verse 19. We know that we are children of God. Verse 19 says, "We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one." That's an amazing fact, isn't it? Amazing thing to be thankful for. We can look around and see people perishing all around us, can't we? Because they don't know Jesus. And we can be grateful to God that he has somehow saved us. Not because we deserved it, not because we were good, not because we gave, you know, to the United Way last year, but just because of his grace, he decided to save us. And this verse says we belong to him. And the word children is literally not there. It just says of God. We know that we are of God. That means we belong to him. We're his possession. Something that, you know, if you have possessions, you prize your possessions, right? He likes it that we belong to us. We're in the world, but we're not part of it. We're aliens and strangers here. We're just passing through. Some of us have a longer time here, and some of us will have less time, but we're just passing through. While the whole world is under the control of the evil one, we belong to him. There's no middle ground. We're either of God or we are of the world. There's no gray there, one or the other. We've been freed from the dominion of death, the devil, and darkness of the world. You know, once there was a Christian guy who was British, and his name was William Gladstone. He was Prime Minister of England. He had a really long political career in the 1800s in England. And sometimes the guys who worked with him, the other representatives, the other lords, you know, would come angry at him. And they would say, you know, I don't mind that Gladstone always seems to have an ace up his sleeve. What makes me angry is his maddening assurance is that it's the Almighty God who has put that ace there. Gladstone knew that he belonged to God. He knew that there were things that God convicted him about that were wrong, and he taught the people that by the way he voted, by the way he led the nation. And he knew that it was God that was directing him, helping to direct the British nation. He was the guy that kept the Brits out of our Civil War. That's one of the things he did. Amazing how God put the perfect person in the right place at the right time so that his will would be done. It made a difference in Gladstone's life because he knew he was of God, that he was a child of the King. The third thing we can know while relying on the love of God, we can know that Jesus has come and given us understanding. Look at verse 20. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. So John here takes us back to the beginning of his letter. Remember what he said at the beginning of 1 John? Go back there to 1 John. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. And we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Jesus has come. And the verb there for come is present tense. Present tense of the verb come. We have heard him. We continue to hear him. He speaks to us through the Word of God. We have seen him in our minds. We know what he's like. We know what he wants. And the apostles actually touched him with their hands. He has given us special understanding about God the Father. God came in the skin so that we might understand who God is. God came in the skin to go to the cross, to die for my sins and for your sins, so we might have eternal life. He has given a special understanding about God the Father that is only possible through him, through Jesus. Even though this world that we live in constantly bombards our lives with lies, be afraid, don't go there, don't do this, be afraid. We can trust Jesus for every step that we take in this life. This special understanding confirms three truths. And aletheos is the Greek word for truth. And I remember that because at Grace College, there was a building that they called, the word for truth in Greek. So we knew that if we wanted to really have a truly good time, you would go to that building because that's where the food was. That's where the letters were coming into. And so you knew that that was the right place. Well, first of all, the first thing that's true that we can see in this verse is that we know him who is true. It's referring to Jesus. Jesus is true. Remember John 14:6? Jesus said, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the truth. He doesn't lie. He's not a false god. He's not an idol like what they saw all around them, but he is the true God. Secondly, we are in him who is true. We are in Christ. That's who we belong to. That's our identification. We are in Christ. We are in him. And the third thing is true is that he is the true God and eternal life. Christ is God. He is the true God. We have the real thing, don't we? We have the real thing. Christ Jesus is the true God. We know him who is true. We are in him who is true. This is the real God, and this is the real eternal life. Several years ago, in Arizona, New Mexico, some thieves broke into the Hopi Indian Reservation. And their you would call them witch doctors, had these deities. They had four deities that were there. And I don't know why, but these guys decided to steal their deities, their gods. And, you know, the Hopis were devastated by losing their gods. They said these stick figures were the basis of all the religious rituals that they did as a tribe. And so a tribal leader explained that without them, there was no hope for rainfall. There was no hope for bountiful crops. There was no hope for good health. No hope for a long life. They had made up these gods to get what they wanted. And now they were stolen. And they had no hope. Their hopes were destroyed. If anything can be taken away from us, it's not the true God. Jesus has come and given us understanding of the true God. Life that is real. Life that is eternal and only real and only eternal in him. As we close today, just a couple questions about these three things that we found. We know that a born-again person doesn't continue to live in sin. We know that we are children of God. We know that Jesus has come and given us understanding. First question is, and the final question is, do you have the real Jesus in your life? Do you know him personally? If you do, then he'll help you every day of your life with whatever you face, whatever you come across. You can trust Jesus because he is the good shepherd. He will never let you down. Billy Graham said, you know, I've never had somebody come and say, I made a mistake because I trusted Christ. Never, ever, ever. Nobody's ever done that because Jesus never fails. Other people will fail us, but Jesus never does. Let's pray as we close this book and close our time together today. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you are so very, very good to us in revealing things to us, giving us a special knowledge that is a gift to us and a gift to your children. Lord, help us to take advantage of these things, to trust in you, to know you better, and to live for you each day of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.